The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
Upon you, Peter, I will build my church. Now, please know with me that Jesus at this point is not just speaking to Peter only. The other disciples are there, and he is speaking to them as well. And guess what? He also is speaking to us this morning, right here in Parachute, in our closing days of 2017. He's speaking to us. I want to build my church upon you. And he's letting us know that he will build his church. Will you be available to be used by him to get it done? Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, he himself is the foundation and the cornerstone. And we are the building blocks that he desires to use, you and me. He used Peter to build his church. He used the other disciples to build his church. And guess what? His desire is to use us as well. Jesus is still building. His church is continuing to expand his kingdom. Paul writes in Ephesians, you are members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Peter again writes, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. That's you, that's me. Today, God continues to build his church on people who confess his name, who are making the declaration that Peter makes here in chapter 16. He wants to use you and me to build his church. You are the living stones that we read about in God's word. And this comes with the promise. Did you notice that it says, and on this rock, on this declaration, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The picture here is the picture of a fortified city protected by gates. Now, please understand with me, in this analogy, we need to determine and make clear who's on the offense and who's on the defense in this. It's important that we understand that. I think too often we get the idea that spiritual warfare, I think sometimes we just get it backwards. We think that we're on the defensive, that we're the ones who are under attack. Now, in a sense, we know that he does attack. We know that he's always firing his fiery darts of temptation, whatever, at us. But I do not believe that that's what Jesus has in mind when he makes this statement. He is not saying that you're to be a church who is always on the run. You're to be the church who is attacking the enemy. You're to be the church that's not running from the battle, running to the battle. An army does not take its gates with them into battle. They attack the city and storm those gates. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying to us. There's an enemy out there. There's a force out there of darkness that is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And my church is to be a church that is not moving backwards and in retreat. We're to be a people who are moving forward and advancing the kingdom, building his church, storming the gates of hell, as it were. As Paul tells us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The battle is real, folks. And we're not to be a group of people who are shying away from the battle, but running to it. Because we've been given a promise from our King, our Lord, our Savior, that we shall overcome. Amen? There's a spiritual battle taking place. We're not on the defensive. We are on the offensive. And so what does that look like then in a practical sense? It means that as living stones upon which the church is built, your job, my job, is to seek out opportunities to do good, to display Christ. Every time you share the love of God with someone who doesn't know Him, you are storming the gates of hell. Every time you reach out to someone in need, you are attacking the gates of hell. Every time you make a bold stand for Jesus Christ, you are attacking the gates of hell. And so I just say, attack! 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 Kind of like the guy would say to his ferocious dog, sick 'em! Your job as a follower of Jesus Christ, as one who is committed to fulfilling the reason that He came, living out the true message of the manger, is to do good, to put Jesus on display. And when you do, we have the promise from our God that He will use you to build His church. He will use you to change the world. We find another promise in this passage, and it comes with some responsibility. Look at verse 19 with me. Jesus is still speaking, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Keys to the kingdom. Jesus is telling Peter and all believers that we have been made stewards of God's kingdom. You see the progression here. As living stones, His desire is to build His church on us as He would be able to use us. And now we're learning not only that, but He is calling us and causing us to be stewards of His kingdom. Stewards of God's kingdom, we have been given the keys to the kingdom. Why? In order to open doors, to unlock them for others so that they might come to know Jesus Christ and has is salvation, the joy of salvation as well, that the door would be unlocked so that they too could receive this revelation of who Jesus Christ is so that they too can declare Him for the rest of their days of who He is. This binding and loosing is not a picture of heaven bending to our will. Rather, it portrays us in harmony with heaven, with heaven's perspective. Jesus is not saying to the disciples, nor is He saying to us, here are some keys. You go out there and do whatever you want to do, and I'll make sure I make it happen. No, quite the opposite, actually. We are to be binding and loosing even as it is being done in heaven. We are to be in harmony with what Jesus is doing. We see how this plays out for Peter on the day of Pentecost. Remember, Peter comes down from the upper room, opens his mouth as Peter is so great in doing, gives a short little sermon, really just coming right out of the Old Testament as he remembers what the prophet Joel talked about. And you guys remember what happened? He unlocked the door for 3,000 to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Fast forward a few later in Peter's life, and he's in a Gentile's home. Same thing takes place. And we see God using Peter, giving him the keys as He wants to give to us so that doors are open, they unlock so that people can come to know Jesus Christ. You are not born again. You are not a follower of Jesus just so that you can keep it and hoard it to yourself. Never, ever. And And so God used Peter in that way. And guess what? He wants to use us in that very same way. Today, the church's job is the same. We're to be opening the doors of God's kingdom, leading the way for people to come to know Him. We are to be binding and loosing, even as it is done in heaven. We are to be in harmony with Jesus. We are to be doing what He is doing. And what is He doing? Binding the enemy, loosening his grip on the world, and leading people to Jesus Christ. A slogan that is often heard and seen this time of year, in fact, I saw it on a fence yesterday: Jesus is the reason for the season. It's a reminder to us all that a baby came and changed everything. Some of you who have had babies, which probably a good portion of you, you know that a baby changes everything. You begin to wonder, what did I do with my free time? Because it's just vanished, hasn't it? Well, even in a much greater way, there was a baby who came and He changed everything for eternity. And I think also that slogan probably needs to have an S put on it at the end. In other words, Jesus isn't only the reason for this season. He is the reason for all seasons, as we are to celebrate the birth of Christ all year long. Amen. You've heard me say before, and I'm going to say it again. I don't think it was ever God's idea that we, all of a sudden, out of a couple weeks in the year, during this time of the year, decide that we're going to be nice to somebody who typically we are not nice to. And then after the season's over, we're back to dog eat dog. I don't like you, and you know what I'm talking about. That was never God's idea. His idea was, and I think the reason He never even gave us really the actual time of His birth is so that it would be celebrated every single day of our lives. In other words, every single day we're making this declaration of why He came, who He is, and who He wants to be in our lives. Each of the participants involved with Christ's birth, they have so much to teach us. Joseph and Mary, they show their amazing ability to just believe. To just believe. The innkeeper, he could find no place for the baby / king. So what does he do? He gives the leftovers. Please don't do that. The angels express great joy and exuberance for this birth, for they know what it all means. The shepherds display flexibility and willingness to seek out the baby Jesus. The wise men reveal a persistence in following the light that was given them until they found that one whom they were looking for. That they responded in worship, and that they returned home to share their experience with others, has to tell us something for our own lives. And the gifts presented to the Christ child were both significant and appropriate. Gold, symbolic of His kingly reign. Frankincense, symbolic of His priestly ministry, and the myrrh, symbolic of our redemption through His death. He died so that you and I might live in eternity. How important it is that our gifts of love and devotion be offered to Christ after we have first found Him and then have bowed before Him in true devotion, worship, and praise and adoration. If I were to mention during this time of year the name Irving Berlin, you would say White Christmas. If I were to mention the name Hugh Martin, you'd scratch your head. Hugh Martin, if you Googled his name, you will come up with American composer. There'd be a couple of pictures of him, and then a list of some songs that he had written. You're not going to know any of them except for one. One will stand out. It's a song that you have heard your entire life this time of year. You've either sang it, hummed it, or whistled it. He wrote it in 1943. He wrote it for a movie, actually. The movie was Meet Me in St. Louis, starring Judy Garland. The song, I'm trying to get it in my head right now. Here it is. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Right? Y'all know that song. The rest of the words go, let your heart be light. From now on, all your troubles will be out of sight. It's a favorite of everybody's, isn't it? We still to this day hear it all the time. Hugh Martin decided that he was going to leave New York City and move to Hollywood, which he did, and fell on some really, really hard and difficult times. It was in those hard and difficult times that he found himself at the feet of Jesus and gave his life to his Savior. Hugh Martin wanted to make that declaration worldwide. He wanted everybody to know who Jesus was. And so he decided to write some new lyrics for that song. Here's some of them. Have yourself a blessed little Christmas. Christ the King is born. Let your voices ring upon this happy morn. Have yourself a blessed little Christmas. Serenade the earth. Tell the world we celebrate the Savior's birth. Let us gather to sing to Him and to bring to Him our praise. Son of God, and friend to all, to the end of all our days. Let us all proclaim the joyous tidings, voices raised on high. Don't you love those words? Hugh Martin died at the age of 96 in 2011, but not before he had let the world know he had made his declaration, which one of the ways that he had done that, and who Jesus Christ was. How are you declaring him these days? In all honesty, and I'm not trying to come down hard and heavy, but it's a question that we all must answer. How are you declaring Jesus Christ, and what does that look like in your life? I'd like to encourage you this year and every year after to not make this time of year all about the gifts that are going to be placed under a tree, but rather would you make it about the gift that you can bring to Jesus, the gift of yourself. Offering yourself as a living stone. Declaring who Jesus is, clarifying the true meaning of this birth.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more,